Well, it's so wonderful to be here with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I think I see a lot of young people here. All of you are young, so praise God. Really, I feel honored to speak in the name of Jesus, and especially to young people, because he works through young people in mighty ways. So I encourage you, my younger brothers and sisters, today pay attention carefully to what I am talking, and let us together take the message of Jesus Christ seriously, because you are the next generation to be, you know, a blessing to America and to the world. He has brought me from the thick darkness of Islam out and touched my life in every way, emotionally, socially, spiritually, logically. This is what Jesus is. He touches your life in every way to convince you that he is the truth. And so I'm going to share a little bit with you, and also tell you that he is not only he changed my life, but he has been using me and my family in mighty ways, touching the hearts and minds of millions of people in all over the world. We especially Muslim communities in the world, because that's my background. I know their cultures, and God also revealed many, many amazing things to me so that I can share with them. And my last project in our organization is this book, my fourth book, as a project book. We have translated that into 12 languages. There are two remaining that we are going to do that by the grace of God next year. By this, we want to touch, you know, Muslims, or make the message available for Muslims, more than a billion Muslims in the world, through DVD, through audio, through book, the English and a couple of languages of this, as audios are in YouTube and you know, Facebook. I really encourage you to listen to my English teachings and in YouTube and website. You just click my name there, or my organization, Exodus from Darkness. It's going to teach you a whole lot of things. I'm going to share a little bit of it with you today. And my books are on the table there. You can look at them. This is my life story, the house I left behind, how God changed the Muslim leader and teacher into his kingdom. My second book, Islam and the Son of God, compares Islam and Christianity in all levels. And my fourth book, Christ Above All, is a simple philosophical book comparing nine beliefs and religions together in a simple way. Philosophy is a little bit difficult language, but I have really tried to make it simple, because if it is not simple, I do not understand that either, because English is not my language. So many people have helped me for editing that, and I praise God for them. And one of them is our sister Beth here. She's looking after my table there. She, with me, with my team, she has touched the heart of thousands of people in all over the world. So you don't need to be, you know, an special person to do that. Your prayer also is going to involve you in our ministry. So please remember me in your prayer. And God is using me in a mighty way. I'm not praising myself. I praise his name. He has given that opportunity to me. So let us be really diligent for him. I'm going to give you a brief on my testimony today, and I pray God, as my brother prayed, this testimony touches your mind and heart, and you say, yes, I'm going to love him after this and renew my vow with him daily, and to take his mission seriously, because he is serious seriously changed our life, and seriously he wants us to live for him and to speak for him. He said that in John chapter 20, verse 21, he said, he sent me, I am sending you. He didn't send to me only or to the pastor. He's talking to all. I'm sending you because everybody has to some extent the capability and capacity to go for Jesus Christ, because Jesus is a dynamic God. He's a dynamic person. He's not an, you know, static. He doesn't sit in one place. He walks. He goes. And so in his family also we do. And he said we are the members of one body. You see, members of one body, they all work together. So we need to work with him. You see, this is the logic of the gospel. I try to be, to bring that fascinating message to you in a logical way to touch your mind and heart. I have got some photos to show you. The photos sometimes speak more than me. That's good. I have come from an Islamic background and come from the country Iran in the Middle East. Born in a Muslim family. My father had two wives and 12 children. They were all living together. And my parents encouraged me to advance in religious area. And so I did well. From the age of 9, I was invited to different religious ceremonies. And I performed Islamic rituals, you know, recited the Quran. Their holy book is, that's very famous, that you recite that in religious events. We didn't know anything about Christianity. You know, a little bit about Christianity according to the Bible we didn't know, but according to the Quran, their holy book, we knew something, because the Prophet of Islam said he came to complete the task of Jesus and Moses. So that's why he has linked himself to Islam. He went to church for about 3 decades and then left the church and brought a new religion like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and some other branches who relate themselves to Christianity. And Muslims are taught that Christians and Jews, you know, had the right book, but they corrupted it. You know, the Bible exactly was similar, they say, to the Quran, but you know, Christians and the Jews manipulated it. The name of Muhammad was in the Bible, they said. He was predicted, but his name is not there, so that means Christians and Jews have changed his name. So that's the mindset there. They do not have any reason, you know, for the corruption of the Bible, not logical reason. All their challenges are baseless. I have gone deeply in that, you know, worked in that area, but that's what they brainwash their people. So to that extent, we knew about Christianity. I knew a little bit more than that because I was, you know, very much interested in Iranian classical poetry, poems, and in Iranian classical poetry, Jesus is the number one as the role model. Why? Because Jesus is the simplest one in the world. Iranian classical poetry is just like Indian belief or some, you know, newish type belief. It's a mystic belief. Simplicity is among them, so they want to live simple and have a simple role model. So they found Jesus. It's amazing how God puts his witness in different cultures. You can use them. Now I am using that for the glory of Jesus and opening their eyes that even your classical poets did not put their trust in your prophet. They put their trust in Jesus for a reason. And but I didn't know really why Muhammad was not their role model in that time, because I didn't know about Bible. I had not read the Bible. After I started to read the Bible after many years, I was just really amazed and discovered the reason for that. I have amazing stories in my life. Jesus has been working, you know, in my life, through entire my life, since I was a young lad. I have stories really shows that He is sovereign God, and He had a plan for my life. Maybe I tell my first story to you, because I see some, you know, young ladies and boys here, younger ladies. So maybe you can understand that God, when God has a plan for you, nothing is going to change that plan, and no matter what your age is. My first story with Jesus started when I was 12 years old. We were in the school. It was a boys' school, because in Islamic countries, boys and girls normally do not mix. We had a sport class. Our teacher led us to play in the playground, whatever we liked. We seven boys got together trying to play with each other. One of the boys said that he knew a game, and he rushed, you know, to his bag and took one of his notebooks and took a paper from it and, you know, tore it into seven pieces and wrote something inside each and folded them and then rolled them very well and came to us and mixed them in his palm and said, "This is the game. Each one of us going to take one and open in turn." He said the things written inside each is going to speak about our future. So we each took one. In a friendly way, we were, you know, just fighting with each other who should open first or second or third or the last one. A couple of us were trying to be the last one. I was one of them. I eventually succeeded to become the last one. We were seven boys. We were in grade seven. I was the seventh one opened mine. We didn't know the significance of seven. In that time, it's just a significant number in the Bible. And so the first one opened, there was written, "You'll become a teacher in the future." We really didn't care about the future. We just wanted to, you know, play a game with each other. And so we clapped, we jumped and raised our voices. The second one, "You'll become a doctor." The other one, "A governor or engineer." And each time each opened, the excitement was there. Now it's my turn. And I was thinking that mine would be the best. Why? Because I was more righteous than them. You know, I prepared myself in an Islamic way. That's the Islamic mindset, that righteous always get the best of everything, even worldly thing. If you read the Quran, you see that the Prophet of Islam has right to have everything, and even the wife of his own follower. And he did, actually. In Quran chapter 33, he took the wife of his own adopted son. So he divorced, and she became his wife. So that's the mindset. I'm going to have the best one now. I opened, there was written, "You'll become a follower of Jesus Christ." No excitement anymore, because that's the really horrible thing a righteous Muslim can have in his life. And I was embarrassed, and I became angry. And Islam has taught you, if somebody embarrasses you, offends you, the best way is to attack. You know, terrorism is one of them. So what I did, I attacked the boy and caught him, punching him, and he started to cry. Other boys were trying to release him from my hand. I was just crazy punching them too. And while I was hitting him, he shouted over me. That's another way of Islam. If you shout, raise your voice, you scare the other party. And so he shouted over me and said, "Did I write it for you? You saw that I mixed them very well. I really wanted us just to play, have a game. I didn't write it for you. You were just waiting there to take the last one. We took before you. We could have taken that. It's your problem why you're hitting me." My little conscience told me, yeah, he is right. He didn't put it in my hand. I took it. So I gave up killing him. But I did not play with them anymore and left and went and sat in a corner far from them, crying, angry, why this happened to me? That's embarrassing, you know. You see, that's my first story with Jesus. I glorify his name that it came to be true. It's young boys and girls, really Jesus is so delicious and yummy. He is good. We need to really attach ourselves to him and live for him. And so I finished my high school and entered university. Next one, please. I became a radical Muslim in the university, followed this radical, vicious Muslim leader. When radical Muslims are scary, you should not become friends with them. Really, they really thirst for the blood of non-Muslims, especially Jews and Christians, especially Jews. It's just because the Jews in Saudi Arabia, in ancient Saudi Arabia, was full of Jews there. You remember Paul speaks in Galatians, he says, I went to Arabia to see our brothers and sisters. They were full. They didn't follow him as a prophet, and he became so vicious and he slaughtered them. In one day, he killed 800 Jews, beheaded them, and slept in the midst of bloodshed with the wife of one of them, you know? And millions of Muslims think that the most beautiful and simple and lovely person in the world is Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. They do not know that he was very harsh and dictator. They do not know that. And so I became a follower of this man, and he hated the king of Iran because the king of Iran accepted Israel as a country. He must die. So we were all crazy young boys and girls. You know, we started to protest, you know, almost, you know, millions of people in Iran protested against the king. And unfortunately, some leaders in the Western countries, including Jimmy Carter, supported this man. Why they did that? Because they were trying to use him as a shield in front of Russian communism. But then, possibly after a few years, Jimmy Carter said, oops, because he captured the American embassy. You know, that you have heard about the American embassy story there. That anyway, in that time, I was in opposition to him. After we captured the country, he did crazy things and it scared us. You know, he passed the resolution in the parliament for absolute authority, and he got it. That means nobody has right to criticize him. And what happened, he took the money of the country. Iran is a wealthy country, you know, has a rich oil base, and he poured money for Syrians and Palestinians and just made the, you know, capture of Israel first priority, forgot his own nation. Economically, we were dependent on the West. Now Western economy is not there. People are poor. Our infants are dying. You know, no medicine and other thing. He crazy. We didn't like Israel too. We hated Israel too. We told him, let us look after our own people, strengthen them. If they do not have strength, we cannot capture Israel. He was just crazy and mad. These terrorists, really, leaders are mad and crazy. They don't like to serve their nation. They just want to get rid of Jews and non-Muslims and Christians. That's it. So we told him, just, it's not easy to fight even against Israel. You know, you need to prepare yourself. He said no, so we became opposition, we changed our way. When you change your way in an Islamic country, it's not easy like here. You know, in America, oppositions, but it's unfortunately, America is changing too. You know, some opposition are getting killed in this country. And it just, nobody knows what happened. Anyway, opposition in Islam leads to death. And we thought we had many followers. Actually, Iranian proved that in, you know, just after the revolution, you know, there was an election, and one of my colleagues became as an independent president of the country with 88% of people's vote. And Ayatollah lost it with 2%. There were other groups too. 2%, imagine that many people were behind him in less than a year. People didn't like him, but it was too late. He had already established himself. He was the chief commander of the Revolutionary Army in Iran, and he didn't like the result of the vote. He was really thinking that he would be the number one, his group, but they lost, and he became angry, wanted to kill the president. Three times plot, eventually president, you know, was able to leave the country and escape. He's a refugee in France. And some, the government was demolished, some escaped, some were killed. I was one of them caught with many others, put in prison, waiting on death row. In my cell, we were waiting there, we were five. All four were killed, and I am here by the grace of the Lord Jesus. I had a death sentence, and my death sentence is still in Iran, you know? That's why I'm saying that it's a long story. I really cannot enter there. It takes hours for me to talk. My life is very painful. I really encourage you. My testimony is mighty. Some presidents, some prime ministers, some politicians have read my book in other countries to understand what Islam is, you know? So, by the help of a couple of my old friends who were in high position, they worked in a way nobody knew that they played some games. Playing games in communist and Islamic countries, it's just like drinking water. So legally they did something, so I was released temporarily so I could escape from Iran to, you know, another country. I eventually did, to Turkey. You know, there was two initiatives. In first one, I failed. I was actually caught in the border, and a religious guard truck, after, you know, some days, hit me and threw to a valley, and they thought I was dead, but I didn't die. You see, I didn't die because, you remember that ballot? I was going to be his. You know, that's my logic now. If the entire armies of the world come to destroy you, if it's not his plan, you're going to live. Because he is sovereign God. And I'm actually, some people in America want me dead. And I'm just saying to them, I am the follower of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody can touch me. Amen. If he aims for me to live, he has a time for me. If that time doesn't come, nobody is going to touch me. So, for a year and a half, it took a year and a half for me just to stand and walk little by little. My body was crushed, but that gained the momentum for me. All my followers realized that government wanted to kill me. So the government sat a little bit, you know, back. That gained the momentum for me. So in the second initiative, I was successful to cross the border because it was illegal for me to go out. So I found a way. I entered Turkey. In Turkey also, life was not easy for me because there are many Iranian terrorists in Turkey. There are Iranian terrorists in America too, you know, and in all other countries. They just want to get rid of people like me. You know, they live here with, you know, they have American citizenship. You know, but I cannot get American citizenship because I'm speaking about Lord Jesus. You know, the leftists and the Muslims have penetrated this country. When I go there, I don't have anything against the law of this country in my life. You know, anyway, I praise his name. America is not my country. My country is there. But God has put me here to put the hands of some of American into the hands of God. That's my joy. You know, I praise his name that he's, you know, leading me to face hardship and to understand that my house is there. And so, where I was, I'm losing myself. So in Turkey, life was not easy for me. I started to prepare myself to enter university in Turkey, because Turkish is my mother language. There are millions of Turks in Iran, live in Iran. The language is a little bit different, but it takes several months for you to prepare yourself. I prepared myself, entered university to do my doctorate. God, with his amazing grace, God, the God I didn't know, he was leading my step in a way to open my eyes and to amaze me and to shock me. With my supervising professor, we chose a subject, a major for my doctorate, how religions and cultures affect human attitude. Because this is so important in business world. If you go to a country, you have to understand their belief in what way it works. Now, mine was to investigate world major religion, including Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Taoism, communism, humanism, New Age, you know, Iranian ancient religion also is important for a scholarship, because many Western believe that they, you know, Christianity has borrowed, or Judaism, from Persian religions, you know, ancient Zoroastrianism. So that's there to compare them and see in what way they shape the life of people. Religions, beliefs really shape the life of people. Every belief, doesn't matter, godly or ungodly, people live according to that. Your life is different to the life of people who do not know Jesus. I hope so. Because belief affects your life. Pastor, I forgot when I started. Please wave your hand for me anytime you want me to. So, religion shapes your family relationship, your organizational relationship, your ethic, what kind of leadership your religion shapes in your life, in your country. That's the important thing. It's amazing. I was a Muslim studying this, but now I'm using that in all over the world for the glory of Jesus. I have been in more than 42 countries, and 40 countries. I can't go to any Islamic countries, sadly. But I have spoken in many places, in universities, even to politicians, you know, many churches. There are amazing things. That's why I want you young people to pay attention to me. It doesn't matter your age, what age you are. You can understand even your 10 years. I hope I can speak simply to you today. Through my investigation, I was really amazed and shocked. Why? Because for 32 years I had learned, brainwashed, that Islam was the last and perfect religion. There is no any other religion like Islam. Islam is complete. So I was thinking, since I had not gone in deep into Islamic social and political philosophy, so I would find some beautiful, good things about Islam. But to my surprise, I found the Christianity toppest in everything. Toppest in everything, I'm saying to you, like in social areas, you know, social, politics, economy, ethics, and cultural area, not spiritual really. Was the toughest, and Islam was the least of all other religion in my list. And it was really shocking to me that my dear religion, for 32 years I was taught, best religion is the least of all. It's at the bottom of the pyramid. And Christianity amazed me. My brothers and sisters, you really need to prepare yourself. You need to have a discipline in your life to understand why Christ is superior in every way. Look, please contact me. You know, I'm a servant of the Lord. I will help you because I really love this country. This country has been a significant country in the life of many people in the world. But we are losing this country. Please take my card. If you have any question, I will find time. I'm a busy man, find time eventually to respond to your question. You see, I'm giving you a key here to you. How can you understand he is the top? Philosophically, now, philosophy shouldn't scare you. I will make it very simple for you. Because every day we speak philosophy with each other, even husband and wife, children and dads, you know, moms. We don't know that's philosophy. So philosophy has a yummy part, a delicious part. I can help you. So philosophically, you understand why Jesus is top. Doctrinally, you understand why Jesus is top. And then socially, you understand why he is top. And emotionally, you understand how he is top. So these are the areas you can understand he is top. And I was really amazed by all others except, you know, spirituality in the university. The most amazing thing for me was individual freedom in Christianity. And that individual freedom caused Western countries to prosper in everything. In everything. Be creative in everything. Because the leadership in Christianity absolutely believes in individual freedom. God in Christianity absolutely believes in individual freedom. Gods in all other religions do not have individual freedom. Their followers speak about individual freedom. They do not know their beliefs are enemy to individual freedom. I don't have time to go into the depths of it. I'm not going. If you want really to learn, read my books or contact me. The leadership in Christianity is the humble leadership. It's a dynamic leadership. I'm talking to you now business language. Dynamic leadership, participative leadership. Do you know what the meaning of the word? You can take participate in the leadership. Participate in the leadership. The leader is in your level, humble, even washes your feet. Now, why he does that? Because he wants to make sure so you understand there is no any barrier between you and him. The intimacy is 100%. Humility is 100%. So he wants to make sure that you're not scared. You don't scare. You're not afraid of leader. Because if you're afraid, you cannot express yourself well. Fear is a horrible thing. That's why he said, fear not, I am with you. Fear doesn't allow you to express yourself. But if you do not have fear, if you have respect from the leader, you can express yourself. When you express yourself, and then opinions cross each other, and then you understand which opinion is the best, and you take it, and you use it, and you become creative. That's why American organization, Western organization became creative. They made everything for everything. Everything for everything. I'm serious. I've gone to many countries. I'm amazed how creative this country is. It started from England, actually. And then came Americans, you know, European came to America. It just became like the wave of sea to all over the world. Very creative this country is. I'm a handy man myself. You know, I love really to work in my house. And sometimes I say, I wish I had a tool like this. It could help me. I I think I say to myself, I think I can make it. And then I say to myself, hold on a minute, go to Lowe's and Home Depot first. Brothers and sisters, I'm really amazed how creative Americans are. And it breaks my heart that there are some American enemies who want to destroy this country. You know, there is no any solution and remedy for it, my brothers and sisters, unless you love Jesus so dearly. When you love Jesus so dearly, your economy, your leadership, and everything is going to be fantastic. You know, that amazed me in the university. It changed my worldview toward Christianity. But it didn't make me a follower of Christ, of course, because I needed spiritual lesson. And that happened. He had a plan. His plans are always perfect. You know, he allowed me to lose $30,000. One of my, you know, I was a partner to a small, you know, business, a man who had a small business that he was an Iranian refugee in Turkey. So I became his friend and then his partner. He took all my money and he escaped to Germany. I couldn't chase him legally. To only find him in a friendly way and approach him and beg him to give my money back, I had to go to a church because there was a church group coming to him sometimes. I said, hi, but if I go to that church, maybe that church can give me an idea to find him and to ask him, please, I have a family. So that caused me to go to that church. That the loss of that $30,000. It was a miracle. It shattered my life. It was painful in that time, but later on I realized that was an amazing miracle. Sometimes losing is miracles. So I went to the church and I shared my story with them, and they really became sad that this man had done that to me because they had helped him. They never expected him to do that. So they promised me to find him in Germany. They had many friends there. So they said, keep in touch with us. If we get any news, we would be able to share that with you. I asked them, how can I keep in touch with you? They told me, come to the church. I really was afraid to go to church because it's scary for a Muslim, especially for a fugitive Muslim. Going to church, becoming friend with Christian is illegal in the Quran. Quran says in 12 times, if I'm not wrong, it's around a dozen times. Don't become friend with Christians and non-Muslim unless you have a plan for Islam. You know? And so my money was big. $30,000 is a big money in the Middle East. And so I had to go to the church so they could see me. They could feel, you know, obligated to do something. But in the meantime, I was hearing their messages about God. Their message about God was amazing. I knew, because of my interest in poetry, I knew a little bit philosophy about God, because poetry, classical poetry, is a mystic way of life. You know about, you want to know about God and some philosophies. But I didn't know the philosophy of God in all other religions is different to the philosophy of God in the book. These people were saying that God in the Bible is the personal God. We have personal relationship with him, they were saying. He is personal, we are personal. Two personal beings only can have a relationship with each other, which is very logical in philosophy, you know. And they were prepared really in every way. It was a little church by boy. This little church has led thousands of people to Christ. People come to Turkey and go to other countries and they meet Jesus in Turkey. God must be personal, they said, because if God is not personal, then he cannot have image. Only the personal being can have image. Impersonal gods, they are called impersonal in philosophy. That means they do not have image. You cannot even say impersonal God has image, because impersonal means non-personal or even non-existing. You cannot say exist or not. You just say, I don't know. Clever philosophies speak like that. Like Neoplatonism said, how do we know God exists? How do we know he's one or two or ten if he's impersonal? Impersonal means he doesn't have any personality to be known. So we do not know. Impersonal God doesn't have image. He doesn't have image, therefore, to plan, unable to plan. If he doesn't have a plan, then he doesn't have a plan of creation or salvation or anything. You see? You can understand that religion is a true religion or not by this. If God is impersonal, he cannot show any function from himself, and therefore the world cannot be a result of his creation. He is non-irrelevant. I just say irrelevant. He's irrelevant to life. But these people are saying, my God is personal because he has image. He planned, he created, he can save. He saved me. I am now in personal unity and relationship with him. We have an amazing union. That made sense in my mind, that God must be personal in order to have a personal relationship with a personal being. I said, that's yummy. That's delicious. If you know a little bit philosophy, really it's yummy. It opened your minds and hearts. I have gone for my money. You see what's happening to me. Oh, my goodness. And after a while, I had a dream. The following Sunday, I went to the church. I heard about my dream from the pulpit. In my dream, Jesus appeared to me. You know, there was earthquake. The world was getting destroyed. Scary. People died. I was alone in my father, exactly my father's house. The house I left behind is coming from there. I cried to God, there is no one here to help me. Jesus revealed himself to me like a light and said, I'll help you come out from your father's house. I rushed out, my father's house collapsed. I woke up, I saw that was a dream. The following Sunday, somebody was preaching in the pulpit about the verses that the house of Jesus built on the rock. You know, a wise person builds his house on the rock, not on sand. So in his message, he exactly same the same sentence I heard from Jesus. Come out from your father's house. He was talking to the people. Come out from your father's house. Your father's house is built on sand. Everything can destroy it. Come in the house, into the house that Jesus has built for you on the rock. Nothing is going to destroy it. I said, am I having another dream here? So I was amazed. I said, I have to read their book. What's happening here? Do you see, emotionally? This is very emotional. You see, I said to you, in every way he touches your life. I'm a scholar. Scholarly touched by her life, mind, emotionally, and relationally, in every way. I said, I have to read their book, really? And grab the New Testament. Wow, New Testament is the mightiest religious book among all other religions book. We just need to really deepen our knowledge about it. It's not difficult to do that. And I started to read that. I discovered amazing passages, philosophical passages in the New Testament. One of them is John chapter 1. God is Word. That's a philosophy. Word is the definition of God in philosophy. What is God? The Word. In all religions, in Greek philosophy, it's actually coming from Greek philosophy into all other religions. But what kind of word? It is different from Christianity to other religions. In all other religions, the word is unknown, just the word, unknown. How do we know? He is impersonal. He doesn't reveal himself. Revelation is the reason for knowledge. We don't know. So you see, in all other religions, people are following unknown God. They don't know their God. And they follow their God. It's amazing. And they evangelize about their God. I have amazed people from other religions coming to me and say, are you interested? We want to talk about God. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses have done that with me. Shinto followers, so far I had experience, and Muslims, plenty. And I have told them, I am really interested, but I need to test you whether or not you can talk about God. And I told them, I amazed them, I said, sir, your God is unknown. I even said to Muslim, your Quran says, Quran chapter 7 says, the Prophet of Islam says, I don't know God. If I knew God, Satan wouldn't be active in my life. That's written in the Quran. And all other religions, if you do not know God, can you speak about that God to me? No. That's why evangelism only makes sense in Jesus. Because you know God. Your God revealed himself to you. The word became flesh. Why? For you to know, to see everything in him and know him and fall in love with him. That happened to me. I said, wow, this is amazing. I really need to give my life to him. That amazing. He's revealing himself to me. That's what pastor said. In all other religions, gods are in prison. They cannot go. And they're asking people, you do something, maybe you can come to me. You are there, you cannot go. How can they go? But in the Bible, God comes to you because you're bound in sin. You're in chain. He comes when you cry to him, come and release me. He comes and shatters, you know, the chain of Satan and frees you and hugs you and says you, you're now the apple of my eyes. Amazing. I finished the gospel for the first time and discovered that the God of Islam is a false God. Such a God does not exist. It's a God made in the image of a man. Of course, the Prophet of Islam loved to have a God in his life. Many people, other religions, care for God, but that doesn't mean they always give you a good picture of God, a logical picture of God. So his God, just a pagan God, you know, a non-existing God, a God made in the image of a man. So I lost that God, and I started to read the Bible for the second time, gospel. The love of Jesus amazed me in the second time. Jesus really is amazing by his love. And that's why in him, everything is based on love. Love your God with all your being. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your spouse as your own body. Love your enemies, my goodness. You know why? There is a logical reason for that. Because only love can change enemy. You see? I was preparing young boys and girls. Please go to the pictures. That's me here. Next one. Praying in a mountainous area like Osama bin Laden. That's me here preparing young boys and girls how to fight, how to kill, how to hate, under the leadership of Ayatollah Khomeini, because he asked all organizations to prepare young boys and girls for war. We were still preparing. This lady is my wife. She was the most aggressive among all other girls. I said, wow, this is mine. It's true, I'm not joking. Really, leaders love aggressive boys and girls. And so this is our wedding day. You see how excited we are? After our marriage, next one, our first child, our family. This is me. I announced my candidacy for Islamic Parliament here with the first president, and then chaos started. This is when I have given my heart to Jesus. We are speaking to those two Muslims. This is an American brother. He spent his entire life among Iranians. He led thousands of Iranians to the Lord. Next one, brought my family. They joined me in Turkey. You know, I was speaking about the love of Jesus Christ. Let me finish there. The love of Jesus Christ is amazing, you know. Love your God with all your being. It's amazing. Why? It's another version of that sentence he said, take your cross and follow me. Love your God, that means you need to throw yourself into the ocean of that God. You know, sometimes we Christians, we see Jesus is lovely. We can even write songs and poems for him. But we stay outside of the ocean of Jesus. We need to throw ourselves into the ocean to become the child of love. To love, that means we need to put him in the first priority. Why? He said, if you do not love me more than your spouse and your family, you won't be able to follow me. That's not selfish. He is saying to us, if you do not put me in the first priority, you won't be able to love your spouse and your child, your family and others. You won't be, because this is so difficult. So love me with all your being. Love your neighbor if you want to have peace with them. Love your spouse if you want to have a peaceful family. I said, what I want, really? I gave my heart to him, and after that he brought my wife and children. They joined me in Turkey. She didn't know I was a follower of Christ. I couldn't tell her. It was scary, because she knew Islam. Islam says if your spouse changes religion, you need to divorce her or him on the spot and cooperate with leaders for his or her destruction. That's Islamic law. So I didn't want her to push her into this chaos. I wanted her to come and see the changes in my life. Those changes are amazing. Really amazing when a husband gets changed first. Because I don't know how many of you read the Quran. You can read the Quran. There are online. It's not an easy read, but just click about the women, how women are treated in the Quran. As a husband, you can beat your wife in the Quran. It's in the Quran, chapter 4, verse 34, chapter 38, verse 38, verse 44. Even chapter 4 says in 15, you can lock your wife in the room until she dies. That's the peaceful Islam. You know? So she didn't know that. She just, you know, I wanted her to come and see the changes in my life. And she saw the changes from the first day. She was amazed. You know, then that was an opportunity for me to tell her, to talk to her. She was terrified, really, because it's terrifying. Islam really has harsh laws. If you become a non-Muslim, they take your children from you, because children belong to Islamic community. Very painful, especially for a mom. So that was terrifying for her. But I praise his name. I really praise his name that he came into her life in an amazing way, too. And she discovered that changes in me were amazing, and became interested, and Then I encouraged her to read the gospel, to join ladies' Bible study. She was really amazed in ladies' Bible studies. She found them free. They were talking with freedom. One lady said, "This morning the Lord spoke to my heart." The other one said, "The Lord spoke to me yesterday." She said, who is this God speaking to ladies? Ladies in Islam, nobody talks to them. She was amazed. I'm calling my religion perfect. I'm in perfect prison, but they are imperfect in perfect freedom. She came after the one, you know, she went to ladies' meeting and came back. She was really shining. She was really, you know, very encouraged. And she said she wanted to continue and then started to read the gospel seriously and eventually gave her heart to the Lord, and the Lord changed the entire family. And that's the smile of the Lord on their faces. In Islam, ladies cannot, if they smile, they have to cover their faces if their faces are not covered with their hands. But they cannot laugh, raise their voices. And praise God that many Muslims are not following that, because they are not really strict followers of their religions. They are following their cultures. So you can see freedom in many Islamic countries to some extent for ladies. So this is our life. God changed us. Not only has been changing us, but has been using us in mighty way. Let me just give my last sentence to you and wrap it up. I really humbly am really asking you to love Jesus dearly. Please do that. Because this is the remedy for America. Even God gives you the best politician. That best politician with horrible politicians won't be able to change this country. It's you and I. This is the nature of love. This sentence is becoming longer. Sorry. I really want you to do that. Don't forget this message after 2 days. The nature of love is this. You are ready to sacrifice yourself for your beloved one. A mom, a dad, never wants her children to die before them. I'm a dad. I'm a granddad. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but all the time I'm asking him, don't allow me to see the death of my children and my grandchildren. Take me first. You know why? Because that's the nature of love. If you want to love someone, you don't love that someone 85%. 100%. Take your cross and follow me. He knows that's going to change America. Please love Jesus dearly. Thank you so much.
I want to read to you part of an article that I saw this morning before I came to church, of all times, right? The stakes for being an underground follower of Jesus in the Islamic Republic of Iran gets riskier and riskier. Persecution of the fastest growing church in the world occurs periodically and unpredictably. The secret police break into homes, arrest, imprison, beat, and torture house church leaders, threatening them with death. Yet fueled by oppression, the underground house church movement in Iran continues to grow at a sizzling pace, with 1 million believers, perhaps more, in this nation of 84 million people. The article goes on. God is reaching people in Islamic nations. God is plucking people out to be a part of reaching others for Jesus. We sit in a nation where we have freedom of our religion. And you'll have, I have, Christian brothers and sisters in Christ who will say, hey, we can all do this together. And Islam isn't that far different, and those kind of things. And we know very truly from someone who lived it and taught it that it is very different. The difference between every other religion in the world and Christianity comes down to two words. It's do versus done. Every other religion in the world is based on what you do. You have to earn your way to God, and that binds you. Because who can ever do enough, right? Who will ever be able to do enough? But Christianity, and what our friend Daniel has found in Christianity, is that it's about what Jesus has already done. It's about love, that Jesus already died for all of our sins, that we don't have to do anything but receive him. And even in this room, and even with whatever audience we have watching today at home, there may be some that say, I'm not sure I have what he's talking about. I'm not sure I have that love connection with Jesus. And I just want to tell you that it starts with that personal relationship that he's been telling us about. Religion won't get you to God. Religion won't get you to heaven. Jesus gets you to God. Jesus gets you to heaven. And it begins by receiving him. So just pray with me as we want to pray, and then the music's going to lead us out today. You can stay and listen to the whole song or leave as you want, but we're a little long, so we'll have the band play after I finish. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you go to all means to reach us. Thank you for our brother Daniel and how you reached him, and now you're using him to reach so many others. Thank you for the love of Jesus that he knows in his heart and that he knows we need in our country and world. And even in those hearing my voice at this moment, whether it's someone in the room or someone watching live on Facebook or somebody watching later this week, Lord, we pray that if they've not received you, that today hearts would turn to you and they would ask Jesus to be in their lives. And it begins with a simple, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. And lead me in this personal love relationship with you. And when we invite Jesus in such way, Jesus comes. And we love you, Jesus. Thank you for all that hear that and receive you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Bless you. We'll be back next week continuing our series. Praise team's going to play. You're welcome to stick and stay in worship. And if you're ready to leave, you can do that too. But God bless you all. Thank you, Brother Daniel. We're glad you're with us today.